Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Bob Ryan.
I'm Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe and ESPN.
I'm Mike Lupica, MLB.com and the New York Daily News. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast. Mitch is not with us today. He is continuing to do God's work at his orphanage in Haiti. He will be with us next week. Bob, the Fall Classic got even last night. And Bobby and I were talking about this right before we started today. Primarily, it was not just the bullpen. And the bullpen was great for the Rays. But primarily, it was because of a couple of dingers from Brandon Lau. Because, as I said to Bob before, usually when your best hitter tanks in the month of October in baseball, you're screwed. And Lau had looked, Bobby, he had looked lost. And that's why this thing felt like last night he got hit by lightning.
Yeah, Kevin Cash said, you know, we don't see the behind the scenes. He was working hard. You know, we're getting this, the working hard, and, you know, we knew it was going to come around. And, of course, there was a lot of speculation as to why he was still up at the top of the order. And you know, well, you don't have too many alternatives, really. So he, you know, he was overdue, quite frankly. And he came through last night. And, yeah, that's it. It was, but there's... So, yeah, that was that. And it was good to see. I mean, I want a long series. I want to keep this thing going. I'm happy that I'm really seriously neutral. I mean, because I'm rooting for Dave Roberts to win one finally. And even though I don't ordinarily root for any LA teams. But I told you the other day, I'm in a win-win with this. I just sit back and enjoy it. And I'm enjoying, you know, just as a neutral fan.
Bob, you know I'm a big Dave Roberts fan. I stay in touch with him during the season. I really like him. Okay. Do you have any problem with him hitting Cody Bellinger? And I'm going to ask Tyler this too, because Tyler's a huge Dodgers fan. Hitting him where he hits in the batting order. And what I'm asking you is, wouldn't you prefer to have him following Justin Turner instead of Max Muncy?
Probably. I mean, I don't think it's a huge issue myself. I think I think you can make a strong case for it, and so that's all I'll say.
Tyler, you okay with it?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think Bellinger needs a little bit of protection. He goes through these stretches sometimes where he doesn't really produce, and sometimes I think a little pressure of him batting down helps him a little bit, takes a little of that pressure off.
Okay, because and by the way, for all the good things that the Rays did, and by the way, Bob, I don't know if you were thinking what I was thinking the night before. I'm looking out there after, you know, Glasnow had thrown, 112 pitches and thinking, Why is he still in this baseball game?
That when, was a hit. That,
when you've got this kind of relief pitching.
That's the head-scratching managerial moment of the first two games is that issue right there. I agree with you. I couldn't believe it. I saw that pitch count mount. I'm going, okay, you know, this is the guy, Kevin Cash, who told us in reference to the Aroldis Chapman thing and 100 miles an hour fastball at Brusso's head. I got an army of 98 guys, right?
A stable.
And he does. Yeah. And, you know, right, that's a weird one.
But what I was leading into is, if you had known before this game, considering who was starting for the Dodgers, that the firm of Betts and Bellinger, the two former under 30 MVPs, were going to go 0-6, you would have thought, okay, this is a game the Rays got to get, and the Rays did get it. I mean, it makes this such a big game on a Friday night. I mean, game three, you know, Bob and I talk about this all the time. There's little game sevens, you know, across a really good seven-game series. And this is a marker game. One of these teams is going to plant a flag in the ground by, you know, midnight Eastern time tomorrow night. And Bob and I were also talking about this before the show, and because if we're talking about it, we want you to hear us talking about it. Bobby, the starter for the Rays is a remarkable modern baseball story. And I sometimes even think it doesn't get enough attention. And that is Charlie Morton. Big game Charlie Morton, who has become one of the premier postseason pitchers of his time. And Bob, you know this even better than I. It is extremely unusual in sports. I just wrote a column. It'll be posted later on Thursday morning for MLB.com about Charlie, okay? It is extremely rare for an athlete in any sport, Bobby, to change his place in the history of that sport after the age of 30, and that is what Charlie Morton has done.
Mike, you were pointing out to me, and I'm looking at it, and it is really remarkable that since he arrived in Houston in 2017, here are his WLs: 14-7, 15-3, 16-6, and then 2-2 in this abbreviated season this year. The only category. This is great. He did lead the league in winning percentage with that 15-3 and 18. The only category in which he has dominated throughout his career, four-time leader. Mike, you know what it is?
What?
Hit by pitch.
Yeah. No, Bob, his record with Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and a brief stop with the Phillies before the Astros saw something in him was 46-71, okay? And Bob wasn't that great in math at our school, Boston College. That's 25 games under 500, Ryan, okay?
Yes.
Since then, he's been nearly 30 games over 500.
Yeah.
His postseason record is 7-2. I had forgotten that he actually pitched a postseason game when he was with the Pirates like 7 years ago, okay? Mm-hmm. And he pitched pretty well that day, and they ended up losing. He is, Bob, he started Game 7 of the 2017 American League Championship Series against the Yankees and won. Mm-hmm. He pitched, as Tyler Brewer knows, the last four innings of Game 7 of the World Series against the Dodgers and won. Some guys, Bobby, some guys never get near a Game 7, and he started one and finished the other.
No, it's as you said, and people don't, you know, really, most people don't focus on anything like this. It's one of the little things about baseball that I've become aware of over the years is the remarkable, not the remarkable, but the predictable fact that people peak somewhere around 30 or 31, and they do not have reliable second halves of this year. And greatest glaring example up there right now is Albert Pujols, you know, who has been hanging on in the end of that contract. But there was only a handful. You do not need more than one hand to count the number of position players who have had more productive second halves in their 30s than they had in their first half. And pitchers, it's even more rare.
And here's the thing, Bob. Somebody said this. It might have been you. I can't remember. We're talking about games when the Rays were in a free fall against the Astros and starting to look like they were about to share a very dark place in baseball history with the 0-4 Yankees, the only team to blow a 3-0 lead in October. The one thing that gave Rays hope was that Kevin Cash was giving the ball to Charlie Morton last Saturday. And he pitched the way he always pitches in a Game 7. And now here they are. This tomorrow night, this is a great World Series pitching matchup. Yeah, it may turn out to be a stinker, okay? Because when we get all hyped up. Ferris Bueller against Big Game Charlie. That one, I don't want to miss a pitch of.
I want to talk a little bit about the nature of what we're seeing, and we are seeing such a classic reflection of how baseball has changed. Throughout two games, Mike, we've got 31 hits total, 43 strikeouts total, which is the way baseball is now. We've now settled into 2 years in a row, am I correct? There's been more strikeouts than hits, so after not never having happened in the history of the sport. That's number one. But my favorite one of the little factoid, in two games, Mike, we have already seen 18 total pitchers. We've seen 18 different people. One of them twice, Fight Club Joe Kelly. And the other thing I love is this: we're starting to get familiar with some of these faces and people that were completely anonymous to us when it started, right? I mean, aren't we all ready? Don't we all chuckle at the sight of Bozo the Clown? Oh, excuse me, Dustin May with that red hair and the teeth streaming out of the back of his cap.
He looks like Barbara Streisand in The Way We Were, doesn't he?
You know, but I mean, the point is we're seeing these guys, we're getting familiar. We know that with Nick, we have a the firm image of Nick Anderson with his neck is about 8 feet long, isn't it? Brusdar Graterol. How about Diego? By the way, Diego Castillo in the ninth inning, three pitches.
Oh, my
God. That first pitch had a tail end on it that it was a wiffle ball at 99 miles an hour.
Completely
ever seen a 99 mile an hour wiffle ball? Well, that was it. Strike one.
The quickest ninth inning I've ever experienced.
Boom,
in my
boom,
life.
Boom, boom. And but that first pitch was, I'm saying, huh? What was that?
No, sometimes, Tyler, sometimes a pitcher's face can betray what he's really feeling. That guy looked like he was completely up to the circumstances of the. It was like he was throwing his first few warm-up pitches in the bullpen.
Yeah, I literally turned away, looked back, and they were giving each other high fives. I was like, what the heck happened?
What just happened to my team? And here's, before we're going to talk a little bit more about Game 3, because Game 3 is, you know, it's not going to decide it, but it's going to establish the narrative for the rest of the series. Before we do, a reminder that, as always, we're sponsored by Geico.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance? You switch to Geico during Geico-ween. October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they can brew up spellbinding savings just for you. You getting all this Halloween stuff? So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geico-ween, everyone.
All right, here's my question for Bob Ryan and our Dodger fan producer, the great Tyler Brewer, okay? And I know that the Dodgers won a Game 7 in which, you know, Carrot Top pitched, okay, started, okay? Can the Dodgers get four games over seven with the guys starting who aren't Clayton Kershaw and who aren't Ferris Bueller? I'm only kidding.
Can they?
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course
they
can.
I don't want to, you know, I know we're saying setting up Game 3 is very pivotal and all that, but I want fans of both teams to take heart. Don't give up. Your teams have each proven certain qualities that have gotten them there. And that's probably even more remarkable for the Rays and with the whole payroll thing and all that, who these guys are.
All right, we get a day off. Here's my question. So, Tyler, when's Kershaw pitch again? Five,
right?
Yeah, it got to be five. I'm looking at a guy like Julio Urias, like, you know, see what he could do. But yeah, that's been the question mark for the Dodgers all year. Gonsolin, May, you know, some of these young guys, can they actually become a you know, top flight pitcher? And that's kind of been the one little bit of a weakness. You know, it's Kershaw and you got Bueller, and then it's like, who else?
Urias could turn out to be the starter version of Diego Castillo. I mean, because as good as Castillo was, he didn't have to pitch long last night, obviously, as we pointed out. What Urias did in Game 7 was one of the... You know what that reminded me of? You know what it reminded me of? Bumgarner coming out of the bullpen in Game 7 that year, right? For the Giants against the Royals in a one-run game.
That's the highest praise.
No, but Bob, he was unhittable.
He was slinging. He was beautiful.
Again, I'll use that phrase because I like to use it a lot about sports. He was up to the circumstances of the occasion. And, you know, if you're going to give an edge to a bullpen in this thing, it would be the Rays. And if you take Urias out of the Dodger bullpen, but he's got to get a start. And by the way, he's had a very interesting career arc because they've really... You know, he's only 24 years old, but Tyler, they've really not babied him. I'm not saying it babied him in a pejorative way, but they've really brought him along slowly.
He had an arm injury. He had a surgery, and they shut him down. They have this innings limit on him for two, three seasons. You heard about this guy. He came up, he threw a hot, you know, heat, and then they pull him out after like two innings. It was so frustrating. But man, he's really panning out now.
Yeah, and so, but again, if the firm of Betts and Bellinger doesn't hit, it's going to be hard for them to win the World Series. Fact of things.
I'm on various records, tweets, messages, radio, whatever, that Mookie's got a big hit in him somewhere. He's deaf. He has that. We've seen everything else that he can do. He's just had. He's showcased his five tool ability. He's the defensive plays that he's made, and the run that he scored that he personally manufactured the other night.
Ace running is just great.
Yeah, he's one of. Oh, but you know, but that's one thing we knew when he was here. He's spectacularly. Remember his last act as a Red Sox, Tyler. I don't know if you know this. His last act as a Red Sox was to score from first on a glorified single against the Orioles in game 162.
So underrated now.
It's game 162. He is a remarkably smart base runner and a tremendous athlete. I was thinking last night, you know, if they get two guys on in the ninth, I'm calling the shot right here. He's got a big hit in him, I promise you. Somewhere.
Yeah, they were happy he didn't get up in the ninth inning. And Tyler, I always point this out to Bob. The good thing about a guy like Mookie Betts is once you have him on your team, you never let him go. Isn't that true, Bob?
I mean, once you have him, never let him go.
12-year right. deal, Dodger signed
for. Okay,
12
here's the
years.
Thing. Here's the thing, and I have said this before about Mookie Betts. They haven't Brooklyn / Los Angeles Dodgers, you know when they had anybody who actually had this kind of skill set? And Mookie's a better all-around player. I know this sounds sacrilegious to the guy. Is Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
Okay, yeah. And here's the other thing. They now have two former MVPs as position players, and they have a former MVP as their ace pitcher. It has happened one other time in the history of the Dodgers. Tyler, this is a little history lesson for you.
I love
you ready?
It. I love it. Give it to me.
Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, and Don Newcomb.
Don Newcomb.
In his Cy Young MVP year in 1956. And they didn't win the World Series because that was the Larson World Series.
Oh, well, they lost in seven. They lost in seven when Newcomb, who never did win a World Series game, is 0-4 lifetime. And had an ERA of 9. It got bombed in the game 7 and 9-0. Johnny Cook split the shutout, and Yogi hit two home runs, and if I'm not mistaken, including a grand slam. But that's why they lost in game. That was the year they were the defending champions, of course, in 1956.
Do you think Seager's got an MVP in him?
Well, he's got his first one, not for a whole season, but that's the other thing. I say, well, they've really got four MVPs because they got a kid who's just the MVP of the championship series.
And how smooth is he? How smooth is he playing defense?
Was it Smoltz that brought it up, or was it Joe? I don't know last night. But
oh, did he? Okay,
you know,
good.
The casual, you know,
John actually managed to take a breath there. Okay, so. So anyway,
I like John. Don't go down.
I do too. I do too, Bob. But he does. Somebody said he does perform an autopsy on every single pitch. Okay. Listen, game three coming up on Friday night, and we are all so.
I just want to. I know this is the old fart segment of our podcast, but I'm just trying to point out. It won't be. It'll be brief, right?
Oh, please make.
No, take it easy. The TOG, you know what that is, right?
Time
and those first two games, 324, and this is important. We should talk about this at some point. 324 and 340 for 2 9-inning games. I did a little research, and we're talking about science fiction. Jules Verne, you know, 1966.
Just don't make it a literature tutorial.
Games three and four, yeah. 1966, the sweep of the Dodgers, Orioles. 155 and 145.
It was 54 years ago. It was 54 years ago. And
I don't care.
Here's the thing, Bob.
Three balls and three strikes? Were there three outs? Were there foul lines?
Bob, there were 12 pitchers last night. The game has changed.
I know.
Okay?
But the point is this good or bad or neutral? It is not good.
Bob.
340 is not good for 9 innings, and you're trying to attract an audience and keep an audience, and the ratings were the lowest ever for game one, and don't think that's not part of the reason.
Bob, in game seven of the championship series got more people to watch than the last game of the NBA season. Okay,
I
refuse to measure the appeal of this sport right now, which I believe is quite high, simply by television rating. People watch a college football game on Saturday.
Come
in on Monday and tell me how long those games take.
It's horrible. I will. I don't like that either. All right? I don't like that either. No, that. All right. I'm okay.
It's over. We are sponsored by Cuts Clothing. Okay. You used to need two sets of clothing, one for home, one for work. Now the lines are blurred. I know one thing. I don't have to wear a tie anymore. And I spend an awful lot of my life in t-shirts. So I went with Cuts Clothing, the perfect solution to the work-at-home wardrobe dilemma. Cuts takes casual seriously, making technical apparel for the sport of business. Their t-shirts, hoodies, and polos look great anytime, anywhere, without sacrificing style or comfort. I'm just going to tell you, these are the most comfortable t-shirts I've ever worn, and I only wish they looked as good on me as they do on my three sons, because on them, they look even better. They pay attention to every detail of Cuts, from the ultra-soft, wrinkle-free, custom pika fabric to the athletic, tailored-looking fit. They don't miss a thing. You don't have to choose between a classic look and a modern feel anymore. Cuts puts it all together, and if you try it now, you can save. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. It seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/reporters. That's cutsclothing.com/reporters for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. And now we turn the page to the NFL, and there is a game that, but in any other season, at this point in the season in October, could never have been considered a big game in any division in this sport, except we have one now between the Eagles and the Giants in the pathetic NFC East, okay, in which both teams come into the game with one victory so far, and both of them think that they can win the division, maybe with five or six wins.
Everyone in the division thinks they can win the division. There's another crummy game of the week in that division we'll get to. But the fact is, Mike, how many times did we used to sit there on a set, and how many times did I say to you, I looked it up.
I know.
And the rules state that someone from that division or conference, whatever, has to go to to the playoffs. I looked it up, and the fact is that the NFC East will send an entrant into the playoffs.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is how desperate Giants fans are in my city, okay? On Sunday, they beat the Washington football team 20-19. They ultimately won the game because Riverboat Ron Rivera, who looked like maybe he had an Uber waiting for him outside, okay, goes for two with 36 seconds left. They don't make it. They lose 20-19. And all I'm we talked about this a little bit on Monday, Bob. At that point, the Giants had produced one offensive touchdown, okay,
yep,
in the previous 59 minutes and 24 seconds, okay?
Yep.
And all I've been reading this week in New York is about the Giants, I'm putting air quotes around this, turnaround.
Well, there's winning and there's not losing. And you really need to take a deep breath sometimes and recognize the difference between winning and not losing. And that was not losing. That wasn't winning. And how they even got the touchdown to put him ahead was, fortuitous. The young man, Mr. Irrelevant. I did like that. You had to love that part of the story. Mr. Irrelevant, Tay Crowder, runs 43 yards with a fumble. Now he winds up on the injured list. Who knew? Anyway, there's not losing. Right. And not to recognize that is foolish. They didn't win. They not lost.
I didn't have any expectations for the Giants this season, okay? And the Eagles, though, they did have, and I know they've had injuries. If Carson Wentz is really, 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 really going to be Carson Wentz again, Bob, it has to be tonight at home against a 1-5 Giants team, and that Eagles have gone 11-1 in their last 12 games against the Giants.
Really? Did not know that number, but I can, wow. No, it's the New York situation is, dismal, as we know. What's your just gut feeling right now? Joe Judge, is he going to make it in the long run? Is there something you like or not?
Okay, here's my thing. Sometimes when you get a Belichick disciple, okay, mm-hmm, he turns out to be Brian Flores, who is going to be a top coach in this league for a long time. We'll get to what a decision that he made this week about the quarterback situation, okay? And sometimes, Bob, the young, hot, and I'm not even sure Joe Judge was a young, hot assistant. I think Belichick gave him his imprimatur, and they signed him, and he seems like a very nice guy who's Belichick on training wheels. But sometimes that guy, you know who that guy turns out to be sometimes, Bob? Eric Mangini.
Who's out of a job, yeah.
Who is out of the sport now.
Oh, Mike, the plus minus is way on the minus side of the Belichick assistants. In fact, the most successful thing so far is a guy who was never one of his assistants. He just played for him, and he didn't even finish his career here. And, of course, that's Mike Vrabel. And, it's you go back to Charlie
Weiss.
I like
Brian Flores.
And Romeo Crennel, go on and on. And Patricia, of course, has been pretty much a disaster. And you're right, Mangini's, but he's the ultimate poster boy. Although they had early success, I can still see that Sopranos episode that he appeared in, and Tony walks over to him and says, "Hey, Manginius." But so he was doing okay at that point.
So the answer is I don't know. I mean, he's become the darling of the New York media, and that's fine. He seems like a nice fella. Okay. Oh, by the way, Ryan, something just popped up on my phone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fox's World Series Game One topped ABC's NBA Finals Game One viewership by 21%. So you can grade them against the history of baseball. All I'm saying is baseball to me, I know I'm getting off subject here, but our podcast. We can do whatever we want. Okay. It actually feels like the national pastime right now.
I wish I could go there. I do. You know, I wish we could go there, and I just wish for the best. I'm putting up with this 3 hours and 40 minute 9-inning nonsense and the parade of pitchers and accepting that this is the way it is and it's not likely to turn around anytime soon. And I understand that, but it's frustrating to know that it used to be better in that regard. But I'll say this: I'll get off the soapbox in about 15 seconds. All that said, Mike, I just want to state that there has never been more good athletes playing this game than there are now. And what pains me the most, and I'm glad I was one of the, I've said it early, is that all this three outcome game of strikeout, walk, and home run diminishes the opportunities for these great athletes on defense. We're in the golden age of defense to make these plays. I woke up this morning thinking about last night. There was no notable, there wasn't anything resembling a notable defensive play. Was there a big one?
Hard plays look. Oh, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. And I'm sorry that we've gone back to baseball, but here's the thing. Tyler, do you not wonder what the outcome would have been if that ball that Will Smith hit hadn't, the laser with Justin Turner on second in the eighth inning, hadn't gone directly into Wendell's glove?
How about the line drive in the first game?
I was going to say the first line drive reminded me of that one, too.
They did. That was the hardest hit, with all the stat cast. That was the hardest hit ball of the evening.
Crazy.
All right, back to football. We got a big game football on Sunday. Yeah. The biggest game on Sunday, two undefeateds, is the Steelers and the Tennessee Titans, who I think we did talk about this on Monday, have simply continued to play in this regular season the way they did down the stretch and into the playoffs last season. And Ryan Tannehill is as good a quarterback story as any of the young guys, as Lamar or Mahomes or Aaron, or the old guy like Aaron and Brady. I'm telling you, what they're doing with a guy who was considered a failed quarterback in Miami playing the way he is, Bob.
Yeah, no, I'm continually amazed, because he really was thoroughly negative about him in Miami, thoroughly negative. And for him to be this guy in this position as he's, it is, if somebody, the old if someone, if someone told you 2 years ago that we would be having this particular discussion involving Ryan Tannehill, we've been laughed off the stage. Ridiculous, not possible. So more power to him, but the real story in that, not the real story, but the towering story in that scenario is the coach, who has getting all kinds of accolades, including last week when he did. He forced that penalty that stopped the clock For himself by having a 12th man run on the field and then pretend that he didn't know it and he was trying to wave him back, and they got the 5-yard penalty and they punted 5 yards back. Who cares? But in so doing, they saved the timeout and they saved for themselves when they got the ball back. And so that's pretty good. That's
and Bob,
pretty good coaching.
All right, this is a small point, but I want to ask you what you think about this. We can't consider Vrabel. Can we consider Vrabel a Belichick disciple, even though he played for him, yeah, but never coached on his staff?
I mentioned that earlier. He's not a direct disciple in that sense, but you got to feel that he had to have been influenced, particularly Mike, because the only reason he became a Patriot when he was a backup player in Pittsburgh is that Bill Belichick and watching film and had seen this guy make some plays and said he might be my kind of guy, and he brought him in, and he sure was their kind of guy. In fact, he was second time I'm using this phrase again, he was the poster child of the kind of guy that Belichick would identify and maybe others didn't see things in to help them win their first couple of championships. And so he's got to have all kinds of Belichick stuff, implanted in him. But no, he was never technically a coach for Belichick.
He's only 45 years old. I mean, we talk about Joe Judge before. Mike's still only 45 years old. And I sometimes wonder if when Bill stops coaching, if it's automatically going to go to Josh McDaniel or they may call up Mike Vrabel and say, hey, you want to come home?
Ooh. No, I mean, well, you know, whenever that's going to be. But
all right, Aaron Rodgers,
no indication
Texans.
When that's going to be.
Aaron Rodgers, Texans, Bob. Bounce back game for the Pack, or yep, did they really get rocked? And did Aaron really get rocked by what happened against the Bucs?
Well, we can't wait to see that. Obviously, I'm betting on Aaron. The way he played up to this game, it was MVP consideration. So I see no reason
Did you read my old Daily News friend Sam Borden's long piece at ESPN.com about Rodgers' kind of weirdness yesterday? If you have not read it.
No, I'll look it up.
Oh, my God. Tyler, did you read it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, God, you got to read it. It's just his quirkiness, okay? And he once invented a fraternity, a TKE, that he and a backup quarterback named Graham Harrell had both been in. And created this whole, they even went to the fraternity. And what's the drinking game, the cup flipping game? Tyler, you'd know
Flip
better.
Cup.
They even went to the fraternity and played Flip Cup.
Cal guys, man. Those Cal guys are a little bit different.
It just makes you like Aaron Rodgers.
That's great.
Even more. But again, Bob, can you imagine what would have happened last week if he doesn't throw the big pick six? What conversation are we having if they go down the field at that point and make it 17-0?
Oh, that was huge. And I think it was so startling because it was his first pick, his first INT of the year, let alone a pick six. And then, of course, to follow it up two throws later. No, absolutely. But that, hey, this every sport has its dynamic. And this is the kind of momentum turning thing that each sport, they all have something. And this was that one, absolutely positively.
All right, Bob, I'm going to turn the floor. Before I turn the floor over to you, a reminder that we are now also sponsored by Ritual.
Hey, friends, taking vitamins daily is a great way to fill the gaps in your diet, for the nutrients you're not getting from whatever you eat while you might be sitting watching a game. If you do that, you might want to take a look at what's in your multivitamin. A lot of top brands add sugars, GMOs, synthetic fillers, artificial colors. Who really cares what color your vitamin is? They even put in some animal byproducts that you'd be shocked at. But Ritual is not your typical multivitamin. Ritual gives you key nutrients like vitamin D3 and others that your body can actually use with no fillers, no colorants, no shady additives. When I found out the difference, I was sold right away. I was impressed right by the start from a clear bottle of vitamins that you can see exactly what it is, to the ease of taking them, to the fact that it's very important not to have fillers. I've been studying this for years, and I know that when you take vitamins, you often get a lot of stuff that you don't want to take. Sometimes they even have sugars in them. Not with Ritual vitamins. In fact, their delayed release capsules are easy on your stomach. whether you take them with or without food. And since they're scientifically designed for men and women and their different life stages, you can get exactly what's right for you delivered right to your door every month, just like I do. You deserve to know what's in your multivitamin, and that's why Ritual is offering our Sports Reporters listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/reporters to start your ritual today.
Bobby, I want you to bring your expertise, your ability to use the language to the game between the Cowboys and the Washington football team, because I know you're extremely fired up about it.
Looking at this matchup, it made me think of a long running column in a syndicated column by a guy named Steve Harvey. It was the bottom 10. And it was both pro and college. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And the crowning point of the bottom 10, it was the crummy game of the week. And ladies and gentlemen, let me bring you the crummy game of the week, Dallas at Washington. It's just so startling to think.
Think about what the rivalry was once.
How low that this division has sunk. How the mighty have fallen. My God. So, yes, Dallas at Washington is the crummy game of the week.
Can you, Bob, I was thinking about this as I'm watching Kyler Murray and watching the Cowboys quit the way they did. Okay, and there were big mistakes. I mean, they let a guy run down the field for an 80-yard touchdown pass. Okay, Gallup drops a pass in the end zone. All that stuff that happened. Okay, Ezekiel Elliott, I actually tweeted the other night, whose side is he on as he kept giving the ball back to the Cardinals? Okay, can you remember a lower point and on national television than the Cowboys got on Monday night? And I'll tell you, I will freely admit, I thought Andy Dalton was going to step in and play well for them. Okay, and the opposite happened.
It was reasonably good the first time, you know, when he took the handoff the game before. Yeah, I thought he was going to be fine. In fact, I mentioned this last week. Aren't they lucky to have that they did the smart thing and went out and got themselves a competent, professional, seasoned quarterback as their backup in case anything would happen to Dak? It's exactly what happened. They had him, and he looked like that was going to be the case in his first opportunity. But no, not last Sunday. No, not at all.
By the way, if the Giants, to go back, circle back to the Thursday night game, if the Giants beat the Eagles tonight, they will be a half game out of first in the NFC East.
I looked it up. Do they have to have a representative? There's no waiver that prevents the NFC East from participating in the
postseason. And they have turned things around. Bob, they did turn things around against the Washingtons. Okay.
There's another game, Mike, we have this brief touch.
You were talking about before the show I think is very watchable.
I'm not being parochial, but the Tampa Bay at Las Vegas, yes.
That's the one. Let's talk about that one for a second.
Because I think the Raiders, you need to pay some attention.
Yes.
I do. And that's all. And Tampa
Bay.
Gruden
sent some guys home yesterday.
The whole offensive line.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, there we go. You know, so this is the season. This is the ongoing overriding issue. Can they even get through a season? We're not even halfway there. And you know, some stuff like this keeps happening. So, you know, it'll be a miracle.
The 4-2 Bucks. And coming off far and away their best performance of the season, okay? And Brady, Bob, that game they played against the Packers last Sunday, wasn't that like any big win that Brady had over his last couple of years with the Patriots?
Yeah.
Where it was defense, offense, and game management by him and no big mistakes.
Excellent. Right. And positively. That's exactly what it was. And that's what he is. That's who he is now. They get that. But that kind of defense, they can go a long way. I don't think if he's going to play at just what he did, no more, no less, fine. That'll be good.
Now you can be parochial. Go.
Well, I mean, we have an interesting game here. And that is that the San Francisco 49ers are coming to New England. And it is the first time that Jimmy Garoppolo will return here. And people maybe not understand. This is really interesting because I maintain, and I'm hardly alone, that Bill Belichick did not want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. He had done, he felt that he had the answer. He was going to phase out at that point Brady. They were already having the beginning of the rift in the divorce, and it was a divorce when Brady went to Tampa. And he loved Jimmy Garoppolo, and he when he knew he had to trade him because he was outvoted basically 2-1 by the owner and Tom, then he found he didn't just haphazardly. He usually does things in a very methodical way. He didn't take the best offer. We know this. Oh, we were told this on
high second kind of, round pick. He got a high second round pick.
Didn't take the best offer. He sent him to a good home. He sent his little boy off to a good foster home in an organization he respects for a coach he liked, and really that was the plan. That was what he did for him, and took how much on the dollar do you think, Mike? 50, 80, 60, whatever. A lot less on than 100% on the dollar. And that's
50% on the dollar, Bob. Okay. And that's probably being generous.
So he's coming back. He's coming back home to play in front of daddy now and see if he can, you know. And
Bob,
what is
going to be the mood in your town if the 2020 version of the Belichicks falls to 2-4 by Sunday night?
It's going to be restless. I mean, you would like to think that reasonable people did not have great expectations. Now, the thing is, of course, we talked about the NFC East. The AFC East is not exactly a powerhouse division now that the Patriots have fallen back to the pack. And Buffalo looked a little mortal the other night. And it's still available. So, people are spoiled. Mike, I hate to use the S word, but I'm going to use it. They are spoiled. And you like to think that people would have a reasonable approach and say, hey, we've had a pretty good century. You know, we're going to have a little market correction here one of these years. And I was ready for it. But I don't think enough people are going to be philosophical like in this manner. As I think they're going to be angry.
And then we're going to find out if the 49ers did, in fact, turn their season around with the way they played last week. Because, you know, they're 3-3, and, you know, the Seahawks, they're 5-0. So, you know, I don't know whether they still have ambitions that they could. Do you think they still have ambitions that they could win that division? Because I don't think they're going to win
that
division.
I don't think they should. No. Which they are you talking about? The Patriots?
No, the 49ers.
The 49ers. No, I would think that's a little far-fetched. I would think so.
And, you know, there's, and we'll talk about this more on Monday. There's a team that could quietly go to 6-1 with Monday Night Football, and that's the Bears, Bob.
I know. I mean, I guess the phrase I love to use, attention must be paid. I'm not prepared to go there yet. Are you prepared to go there yet?
Is there a more interesting
must be paid to the Chicago Bears?
Is there, you know what I think of Nick Foles as, Bob? You know what I think of him? This is a segue into where we're going next, okay? Yeah. You know what I think of Nick Foles? He's like Ryan Fitzpatrick-ish, except he won a Super Bowl, okay? He has bounced around. Yeah, he has had staggering moments of breathtaking genius, as he did against touchdown Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. That is, Bob, they can play 50 more Super Bowls. That was him decisively winning that quarterback matchup. I don't believe it'll ever happen quite that way again in the big game. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I do. And before we proceed to discuss a bearded quarterback, I'll remind you that we remind you we were brought to you by our friends at Geico. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to Geico and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Bob, I have a parting shot coming up on Ryan Fitzpatrick that does not preclude you from talking about it. That was an extraordinary moment yesterday. Not just because, you know, they were going to turn the page to Tua eventually, okay? Yeah. But you don't hear modern athletes. And again, I talk a little bit about that. Doesn't matter. Okay, Bob, modern athletes, especially guys who have been around the way Ryan Fitzpatrick did, talking about themselves, their career, and a disappointment like this the way he did yesterday?
Oh, it was very stunning. I mean, I was mesmerized, quite frankly, about it, the way he was so brutally honest about his feelings in a way that so many other guys would have tried to take. It's not like he didn't take a high road. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm hurting. You know, he said that, and that was poignant, quite frankly. Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. But he has a unique career arc, as we all know.
No. It's, no. I mean, he's played, what, eight teams?
Eight teams. He's throwing touchdown passes for, and you know, who knows? You know, that book might not be closed.
I'm going to count up, Bobby. I'm going to count up the teams for my man, Nick Foles. Philadelphia, St. Louis, Kansas City, back to Philadelphia, Jacksonville, now Chicago. So that's if you count Philadelphia twice, Bob, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Nick.
It's getting there.
He's getting there. But when he comes to play for your team, you expect good things to happen now, even when they don't.
They will until they don't. I mean, that's the whole thing with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yes, there's going to be good moments, and then he's going to, you know, start throwing interceptions. And oh man, it was strange. What a career! It's really an amazing career.
Bob, all right, here's your quick quiz. Okay.
Yes.
Here's your quick quiz.
Yes.
And by the way, there's some good stuff this week. The Big Ten returns this weekend in college football, and we're going to start getting a sense. Maybe I think the only team that could thwart the Buckeyes in the Big Ten, it would have to be in the championship game, is Wisconsin. I just don't believe in Michigan anymore, okay?
No, I don't think so.
Wisconsin is always there, and I think that's the only thing that could thwart the Buckeyes. Bob, don't you think it looks like they have a cakewalk into the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm curious to take a look at them because I've seen Clemson a couple of times, and of course we've seen Bama. And by the way, Mike, do you take Clemson plus 46 against
Oh, man.
Just asking. Okay?
Tyler, are you doing game this weekend?
No. Seriously.
We got the Louisville versus Florida State game, another great ACC matchup right there.
Hey, Mike, you're talking to a couple of ACC guys here, bro.
Hey, Mike,
I can't wait for it.
Our alma mater plays Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech, and
the two combined lost by a total of 92 points last week.
Oy.
Yeah, we hit a kind of a bump in the road against Virginia Tech. Oh, Bob. So here's your quiz. Here's your quiz before we get to parting shots. You ready? How old do you think Nick Foles is?
Probably younger than we probably think. I'll say 29.
31.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
31.
It's a long way to go. A lot of tread left on the tire. Right.
Our parting shots today are sponsored by Ritual, and my mentor and my dear friend Bob Ryan goes first.
Now, parting shots.
All right, welcome to Bob Fixes Football Part 2. On Monday, I told you we need to go back to a fumble being a fumble. Down by contact? Bah! Now, quiz time. What sport are we playing? Gymnastics? Acrobatics? No, it's football. So why do we make those wide receivers become quasi-Nureyevs and Baryshnikovs by requiring them to have both feet in bounds while making a catch? One suffices in college, doesn't it? Damn right. And one should likewise be the rule in the NFL. What is the point? It's the pros, so it should be more challenging. Oh, stop it. Get over yourself, NFL. Make life better for the receivers and the referees. This alteration is long overdue. I have spoken.
All right, just a little more context on Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's 37 now, which means 1 year older than Aaron Rodgers. He's played everywhere and nearly even put the Jets into the playoffs a few years ago. But perhaps his own finest hour has been with the Dolphins by playing well enough that they looked legit again, even at a time when everybody thought a year ago they might try to tank their way to Joe Burrow. They got Tua Tagovailoa instead. Dolphins coach Brian Flores obviously announced earlier this week that Tua was going to be his starter going forward. And when Fitzpatrick, a Harvard man, got the news, he gave not just a masterclass on grace and professionalism, he gave one on humanity as well. This is a quote from him. "This was kind of the first place other than Buffalo where it was like my team," he said. "It was. Now it's not. Ultimately, it wasn't the right time for Fitz in Miami. Doesn't mean it was the wrong place. Thank you for listening to us. Mitch will be back with us next week. If you like what you hear, go leave us a comment. Give us one of those 5-star ratings. I mean, this is quality stuff you're getting every time. We're available on Spotify, Stitcher, and we're Amazon too, right, Tyler?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can find us now, and we love hearing the people. They're a little late in the church service who realize that we are now doing this, okay? That we have been doing it for a while. It is the continuation of 28 years on Sunday mornings on ESPN, and we put the band back together, and we're happy we're did. So for my dear friend Bob Ryan and for Mitch in absentia, have a good weekend, everybody.